coming up on the Get Lean, Eat Clean podcast.
And of course, we're going to age, but you don't want to age miserable. You want to age with vitality. You want to age optimal. You want to age having your brain function, being able to move, to have the energy to enjoy all the hard work that you have done through your younger life. You don't want to be 60, 70 and be in a nursing home. Who wants that? Right? And I see it because I saw it in my practice. I saw it when I was in the hospitals. I saw it when patients would come, multiple medications, professional people that have worked their whole life and now they can't enjoy their life.
Hello, and welcome to the Get Lean, Eat Clean podcast. I'm Brian Grinn, and I'm here to give you actionable tips to get your body back to what it once was 5, 10, even 15 years ago. Each week, I'll give you an in-depth interview with a health expert from around the world to cut through the fluff and get you long-term sustainable results. This week, I interviewed Dr. Rosemary Ritecki. With a Doctor of Pharmacy degree and a board certification in functional medicine, Dr. Ritecki is dedicated to uncovering the root cause of imbalances in your body. We discussed how traditional medicine often fails to make the connection between gut health and overall health, the importance of checking adrenal, cortisol, and DHEA levels, the role melatonin plays in regulating sleep-wake cycles, the importance of personalized diets, and her one tip to get your body back to what it once was. Really enjoyed my interview with Rosemary. I know you will too. Thanks so much for listening and enjoy the show.
All right. Welcome to the Get Lean, Eat Clean podcast. My name is Brian Grinn and I have Dr. Rosemary Ritecki on. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brian. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, excited to have you here all the way from Florida.
Yes.
And you are a visionary pharmacist, a passion for health and wellness. I know you've gotten into functional medicine. And what led you down this road?
Well, my own health struggles, and actually the reason why I started in functional medicine was my daughter. When she was a little girl, we thought that she was shy, and then we find out that she had something that is called selective mutism, and that's an anxiety disorder that pretty much makes kids so fearful of speaking to others that are not their family members. So when I found out that she had that, I started reading a lot about it and learning more about it, went to conferences. And a lot of these kids, they grew up as adults and they can have conversations with anybody outside of their family. So they pretty much are trapped at home and they don't have any social life. So it's very sad diagnosis. And then when I met a lot of families with adult or teenagers with selective mutism, I felt their pain. And I'm like, I don't want this for my daughter. And then I started reading and learning a lot about it. And I took it into my own hands. I was like, I'm going to help her to have a normal life, to be able, because these kids, when they're at home, they're normal, right? They're like talking and playing. You see them with all this passion for life. And then when they go out of the house, they just like, they're so scared. And when she started, you know, we started working a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy, helping people how to communicate with her so she will feel calm and relaxed and not be scared. She thought that something was going to happen. Like, I'm scared that something is going to happen if I start talking. And I'm like, nothing's going to happen. Everything will be fine. And then when I reassured her that, she started to talk. And then we thought that, oh, we conquer selective mutism. She's cured. You know, this is so easy. We got her. She's talking. And then I noticed that she started regressing a little bit. So I'm like, well, I need to find the root cause of this, because there has to be something that is causing her to be so scared or causing her anxiety, especially at home, very happy, healthy environment, full of love, no external things that will be causing her anxiety. So then I discovered the gut microbiome, right? I discovered functional medicine, and there's a big connection between your gut and your brain. And a lot of anxiety, depression, and things that we might be feeling might be coming because our gut microbiome doesn't have enough of the good flora that make us happy and calm and relaxed. So she was the one that made me find functional medicine. So I got her in a really very, you know, we were eating really good at the time, but, you know, I improved it more. So more eating for the gut microbiome, and also working on her, you know, mindset, but the big thing was the gut. And then when I helped her, I was like, well, I was also struggling with a lot of health issues at that time. After I had my kids, I had a lot of hormonal changes. I have a lot of gut issues. I was very tired. I was very fatigued. I was going to multiple doctors and they're like, it's part of perimenopause. I'm like, I am 34 years old. So that's that was 10 years ago. I can't be feeling like granny. I was feeling like granny.
Right. Yeah.
And so functional medicine helped me balance my hormones, get, you know, heal my gut microbiome, get more energy. And I'm like, this is so amazing that I'm going to study functional medicine. I'm going to help people because I am a traditional pharmacist and I was not helping people. So that I pretty much had kids and stay at home raising them. And I was studying and reading and saying, what am I going to do with my life now? Because I don't want to go back to sell people medications and keep them unhealthy. That was going against what I wanted to live. And so now I help people to have their life back, to feel better, to have energy, balance their hormones, lose weight. You know, when you work on your gut microbiome, everything fixes. That's what I do now.
Excellent. And what would you say the biggest difference between like functional medicine and conventional medicine is?
The big difference is that traditional medicine focuses more on diagnosing and prescribing you something, right? Or either surgery, things like that, which is great, right? Because we need we have great doctors that give us diagnosed. If we have need a surgery, we're going to get it. But the problem is that it's not working on the root cause. So it's mostly putting band-aids. I'm putting a band, you have this, I'm going to give you a medication. But the root cause of a lot of health issues that we have these days is because of our lifestyle. The way that we're eating, we're not sleeping well, we're very stressed out, we have very bad relationships either at home or at work or with people. We live in a toxic environment, either, you know, the house has a lot of mold, we have a lot of toxins inside of our body. So that's the big difference between traditional medicine and functional medicine. Functional medicine wants to look for the root cause, fix it so your body can heal, because we have the capacity of heal. We've seen a research on how we can decrease our a biological age, even if we chronologically are like 10, 20 years older, right? Our body has that capacity of healing and regenerating. And traditional medicine, unfortunately, is not looking at regeneration. It's looking at patching, solving the issue right now, go home, continue the aging process. It's normal to age. And of course, we're going to age, but you don't want to age miserable. You want to age with vitality. You want to age optimal. You want to age having your brain function, being able to move, to have the energy to enjoy all the hard work that you have done through your younger life. You don't want to be 60, 70 and be in a nursing home. Who wants that? Right? And I see it because I saw it in my practice. I saw it when I was in the hospitals. I saw it when patients would come, multiple medications, professional people that have worked their whole life and now they can't enjoy their life.
Hmm. And regarding gut health, where do you think people should start when it comes to that? And because sometimes it can be a bit tricky, right? I think there's still a lot of research on microbiome and GI maps and things like that, as far as taking tests. Is that what you would start someone with? Is maybe some type of, what am I trying to think of? Like
a gut test? Stool test. Yes, I like to start people testing their gut microbiome with a stool test, because that gives you so much information about what's happening inside of the gut. If they have overgrowth of bacteria, if they have not enough of the good bacteria, that also can create issues, especially with your immune system. 80% of your immune system is in your gut. So if you don't have enough of the good flora, usually what I see in these people are like they get sick a lot. They have other autoimmune issues or a lot of inflammation in their bodies. They might suffer from a lot of diarrhea, leaky gut, right? Or if they have an overgrowth, there's a lot of bacteria that are connected to autoimmune conditions. Like, for example, Klebsiella is one that is related to rheumatoid arthritis. So if I see that, I ask them, maybe they don't have a diagnosis yet, but I ask them, are you having a lot of pain in your joints, in your knees? I'm like, yeah, I'm having a lot of pain. And that's a sign that that's a relationship, right? The overgrowth of that bacteria causing that. I can see they have viruses, parasites too. Parasites cause a lot of issues in the gut. Yeast also cause a lot of issues with people, especially skin issues, weight issues. Your gut microbiome also can be one of the root causes why you're not being able to lose weight, right? Because there's bacteria that is connected to that. I can see how you're digesting the protein. I can see the level of inflammation in your gut, if you're reacting to gluten, if you need digestive enzymes, if you have inflammation. So the gut microbiome test gives us a lot of information.
It is amazing the testing that can be done nowadays. I actually just went through and got certified through FDN. I don't know if you're familiar with FDN, Functional Diagnostic Nutrition. We had like five flagship tests that we used. One was a GI map, and it's amazing, you know, like stress and hormone, gastrointestinal barrier assessment, adrenal stress profile. I mean, there are testing. Do you have certain handful of tests that you sort of go by that with most of your clients that you start with, other than, you know, just the GI map?
So to start, I like also checking their adrenals. So adrenal test is important because the adrenals are the conductors of the symphony of our hormones. It's the foundation. And if you see a lot of people have the way that we're living right now, so much stress. So running on high cortisol all day is not good, especially because it causes a lot of leaky gut and it will impact the rest of your hormones. So if you're having some people might have issues or symptoms of low testosterone and their testosterone is fine, the issues are coming from the high cortisol. A cortisol molecule, it's very similar to the sex hormones like testosterone, progesterone, estrogen. So it will go into the receptors and it will sit there. And then your body will not be using the sex hormones. The cortisol is sitting down in the chair that is supposed to be for the sex hormone. So imagine what is that cortisol doing to the body too, right? It's sending the wrong signals. So a lot of issues with perimenopause, for example, for females are, and that was my case, right? I was in my 30s having tons of perimenopause issues, and that was coming because my adrenals was having a lot of high cortisol. Okay. And that was causing me hot flashes. That was causing me issues with sleep, very similar to perimenopause symptoms, but they were coming from the adrenals. When you have issues with your adrenals, you might feel very tired, very fatigued. That was me. And that's pretty much, I would say, like most of the US population right now, feeling very tired, very fatigued. So adrenals, I check them because we need to fortify and take care of our adrenals. Another pearl that I learned, it's that when females go through menopause, the ovaries stop producing the hormones, right? So then you rely on your adrenals. So if you hit menopause and already your adrenals are burned out, tired, not optimal, you're going to suffer more through menopause because that's where your body is needing, it's going to be producing the hormones now. So that's why it's so important to check that for everyone. That is not even if you're experiencing fatigue, because you could be fine, but having a start of some adrenal dysfunction, right?
Right.
Yeah. And then I like doing the GI maps and I like doing a nutritional test to see how's the status of your nutrition, your mitochondria, very important.
Like a food sensitivities test.
Well, I move out from food sensitivity test because I found that when I test, I did so many tests and I found that everybody mostly was coming with the same food sensitivities. So I like doing more like either elimination of the top ones, like elimination or anti-inflammatory diet. And then from there, I get great results. And if someone, let's say, has an autoimmune condition or is not getting better, then I would do a food sensitivity test. But I do more of a organic acid test because I can see the nutritional status, the mitochondria. Because the mitochondria, every cell of your body has mitochondria. So if you don't have, and the mitochondria, it's the energy. So if you're feeling tired, fatigue, and your mitochondria, it's weak, the cell membranes of your body need support, need antioxidants, need minerals to function. And if you don't have enough of that, you're not going to be good. So it's all connected, right? Your adrenals, they're this big symphony playing the orchestra, checking that all the hormones are good, checking insulin, are you working good? How are you doing testosterone? How are you doing estrogen? Yeah, everybody's happy. Thyroid too, right? If you're having thyroid issues, it could be, and doctors are not checking your adrenals, your thyroid issues could be because of your adrenals, right? Your thyroid issues could be because of your mitochondria. Your adrenal issues also could be because of mitochondria. Oh, but if you don't have a good gut microbiome, you're not digesting, absorbing good the nutrients. So then they can go through your cells and they absorb the nutrients. So it's all connected. The big difference between a traditional medicine and functional medicine is that in functional medicine, we look at everything, right? Like everything is connected. So when we look at your adrenals, when we look at your mitochondria, when you look at all your sex hormones, when we look at your cellular health, your membrane health, your gut microbiome, then we can get a good reboot in your health. Traditional medicine will only look at one thing at a time. So that's why people don't get better, or it takes them a long time to get better, right? Because they have to go to multiple specialists. And one, they go to the cardiologist for the heart, and then you're in the cardiologist and like, oh, doctor, you know, I'm also having some gut issues. You think you can help me with that? Oh, I'm sorry, I cannot help you with that. You have to go to the gastroenterologist. And then that patient has to wait maybe 2-3 months to get their gut issues resolved. But what the only thing they're going to do with them is scope them and give them medications. That's it. We're not looking more in depth. We're not connecting the dots. Why is this person feeling this way? It's all connected. Or they might say, oh, doctor, and to gastroenterologists. And I believe that every gastroenterologist should learn about the gut microbiome, because patients that have gut issues usually are sad and depressed and they're not feeling well. Right? And then they send them to a psychiatrist. Psychiatrists should also know a lot about the gut microbiome. They will be solving tons of issues if they will tell that patient, instead of giving them an antidepressant or an anxiolytic, tell them, what are you eating? How's your diet? How's your nutrition? Right? Are you feeding that gut microbiome? Because this is not new information, right? This is all over PubMed. This is all over everywhere. The gut microbiome connection. The gut talks to the brain. The brain talks to the gut, right? It's that connection. So if the gut is not happy, you are not going to feel happy, period, right? So I don't know why doctors these days are not making the connection with that, and they just jump into a prescription that is, yeah, it might help you to feel better, but is that really solving the problem? I don't think so.
Right. It's almost like a temporary Band-Aid. And I don't like, as far as, I mean, not that there's a role that, like you mentioned, that general practitioners can play. I think part of the problem is, like you said, it's like a lot of it's just sort of a Band-Aid, and they won't test certain things unless there's an issue, right? Like I went to a general practitioner and asked him if I could take a bunch of these tests. He's like, well, you know, insurance is not covering these, so I can't send these out. And so I've just done all my testing out of pocket. Hopefully maybe this will change down the line where insurance does cover some of the, you know, these tests. Is this something that you run into with your clients where is it pretty much all out of pocket?
It's all out of pocket, but I discover when, and this is something that the insurance that I have at home, I have the highest deductible because we're very healthy. Thank God, right? We take care of ourselves. So if we have to go to doctor once a year for a physical, that's the most we have to do. And then one time one of my kids, they had like an ingrown toenail because they were dancing a lot. They were wearing these ballet shoes, tap shoes, and you know, they need to go to a podiatrist. And they needed an authorization for the insurance. And I have my kid here with a lot of pain. And I'm like, well, how much it is if I pay it cash? And they're like, oh, $250. I'm like, okay. And if I would use the insurance, because we did that in the past, the deductible was $650. Mm. Okay. So that enlightened me. And I'm like, really? Is this a scam or something? So now when I go to the doctors, even having the insurance, I ask for the cash price. When I go to the dermatologist, that's another thing I do every 1 or 2 years to check, you know, for your health, the of your skin. $150 for a dermatologist to see me. And if I would run that with the insurance, because my deductible is so high, my deductible would be $500-$600. So now I tell people, ask those questions. I got an MRI one time. It was $250. And then I told my girlfriend that she has an insurance from her job, right? That they give them, you know, more benefits. And she's like, I can't believe it. My deductible for an MRI is $1,000. Yeah, just go ask cash for it and you'll pay $200 or $300 for it. She couldn't believe it. So when I tell these two people, yes, we're paying for an insurance that it's making money from us, that is overcharging us, and it's not solving the issue. So the best thing that we can do, it's work with a functional medicine practitioner and pay for these things cash, because in the long run, what do you want? You want to be healthy. You want prevention. If you get sick, you're going to spend more money down the road. So yes, you're going to spend more money now, but the idea is that you live a life that is healthy. And a lot of these things, you can order them cash. And especially also with lab work too, like blood work and things like that. If you work with a practitioner and you pay the cash price, which is cheaper than the deductible most of the time. Unless that you have this super insurance that covers 100% of everything. But most of the people have high deductibles.
Yes. Yeah, very true. And just the testing that can be done as a functional medicine practitioner, like you mentioned, like cortisol, like, you know, you get blood tests taken and it's just showing you a spot in time. But like, I know with FDN, we do something called a saliva test.
Yes.
Where, you know, where you can measure the cortisol at different times of the day. And because it depends, right? You sort of want a higher cortisol in the morning and then you want it to sort of diminish as the day goes on. And so there's just a lot of nuance to some of this testing that can be done with a functional medicine practitioner that doesn't necessarily get addressed with a general practitioner.
Yeah. And thank you for bringing that up, Brian, because a lot of people think that they can get that through blood. And yes, you can do it, but it's very difficult. You will have to go to the lab 4 times that day and before you go to bed to get the reading of your cortisol, because cortisol follows a circadian rhythm. And you have to measure it 4 to 5 times during the day. And saliva is one of the best ways to do it. Blood work is only going to measure 1 time. And just going to the lab might give you so much stress to get, you know, puncture that might skew the results. The good thing is about the saliva is you do it like normally at your house. You spit in the sample, you send it to the lab, and that will mimic more your natural cortisol rhythm, right? And what I'm sure that you see this a lot. I see a lot of people that have their cortisol very low in the morning. So they're struggling just to get going. And they're relying on coffee. That was me, right? Coffee in the morning. And then 4 hours later, that caffeine is going down. And then I need coffee again at noon just to function through the day. And then at night, these people are so wired up, either because of the caffeine or because they're very stressed out about the next day, that they can't sleep because the cortisol, it's very high in the evening. So they have this curve the other way around. In the morning, we should have a natural increase in cortisol that's healthy. That means that we're ready for the day, that we have energy to keep going, to wake up. Then at night, that cortisol should start coming down so the melatonin can come up and then we can have restful sleep and we can regenerate. That's that should be the ideal. And I'm sure you're seeing this with your clients. It's reverse. Very low in the morning, very high at night.
Yeah. And I'm also curious, do you look at DHEA as well and that ratio, the cortisol to DHEA?
Yeah. DHEA is very important because you have to support DHEA too.
Yeah. And that's a testosterone precursor, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need the DHEA gets converted into testosterone. Testosterone gets converted into estrogen. So a lot of your, that's why it's so important to check adrenal health, cortisol, DHEA, because a lot of your issues might be coming because low DHEA and issues with your cortisol, either low or high. And there's different stages. There's different stages of adrenal dysfunction. So some people might have the first stage where their DHEA could be normal or starting to drop, and then they have high cortisol through the day. Stage two, you start seeing that DHEA coming down, and then you see the cortisol spiking or starting to come down. And then in stage three, DHEA is very low and cortisol is pretty much flat. That means that you already, you are running on empty. Mm. Usually when you see that people that are on stage three, they're having a lot of autoimmune issues or brewing an autoimmune disorder.
Mm. What about, I know we talked a little bit about sleep, but like a melatonin. Is that something that you check, that, you know, sort of hormone that's produced, you know, by the pineal gland, and it sort of helps regulate your sleep wake cycle.
Yeah, that's another one that you can test too, that I test their melatonin, because if they're having issues with that, if they're having very low melatonin, then that's like, that's probably what they're having issues with sleep. Yeah. And then one of the things that I tell people, it's we have to protect our circadian, work on our circadian rhythm. When we work on the circadian rhythm, we can also work on that adrenal, cortisol, melatonin production. Because if we are very exposed to artificial light, especially blue light at night before going to bed, we're not allowing our body to we have the receptors in our eyes. They're called melanopsin receptors. And those receptors, they send signals to the brain telling them if it's day or night. So if you're still in your computer, you're still with high definition TV, you know, like fluorescent lights, at 10 p.m., your body's thinking, oh, it's noon. Let's go party, right? So that cortisol is like, woof, to the roof. And then when you turn everything off, you're like in bed still awake and wondering why I can't go to sleep, right? You're not giving time to your body to recognize that it's night. So you're going from 10 p.m. super bright, and then 10:05, you turn everything off and the body's like, what's going on here, right? I'm so confused. So you need to allow your body to understand that night is coming, so it can prepare to lower the cortisol and increase melatonin. And I know it's hard because the way that we're living, we're still working at night. If you have kids, I have teenagers, and I am sometimes in the parks at 10 p.m. with those fluorescent lights. They're like super bright. I am in the park wearing my blue light blockers.
Yeah.
Right. So when I go home, I can't go to sleep because I was having such a hard time going to sleep. And I started reading and learning more about the circadian rhythm. And I'm in bed. Everybody's sleeping. And I'm in bed wired, Brian, wired. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't go to sleep. And it was. And then since I started wearing my blue light blockers, as soon as it gets dark outside, I have my glasses on. So I'm already telling my brain, OK, it's time to start producing melatonin, and then I can have better night's sleep.
Mm.
That's my trick.
Yeah, I have, well, these are my daytime ones. And if you're watching on YouTube, and then I have the night ones, and I get made fun of, but
I don't care.
I don't care either.
My sleep is more important. You know, up to this point, like when you get older, the less you care about what other people think. I don't want to know. For sure. I'm 44. So I don't know. Maybe when I'm 50 or 60, then I'm going to be even more crazy. Like, I really don't care. Who knows what I'm going to be doing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, I don't care either. I wear them. And I agree. I mean, if you do have to look at a screen, when you have them on, it definitely helps. Obviously, no screens is ideal. I always say at least give yourself a couple hours before bed.
I agree. Yep.
Yeah. And then also, too, a big one I always talked about with when it comes to sleep is like making sure you don't eat too close to bedtime.
Yes.
I find this with myself. I actually think I get better sleep when I eat earlier and I give myself like 4 or 5 hours of digestion.
Yeah, because it takes about 3 hours to digest. So at least. You go to bed, right after eating, I tell people, like, instead of your body using those 7-8 hours of sleep for healing, regeneration, that is the job, it's going to be digesting the food. So you're missing out 3 hours of regeneration for your body to digest the food. Right. So, and then at night, we don't do a very good job digesting food either. So that food sits there, and then it will impact your sleep and impact your gut health too.
Yeah. I always say, my wife and I, when we go on vacation, we always go out to eat early. It's always easy to get reservations at like 5 o'clock.
100%. Yeah. My husband does the same thing where we are the ARP. Right. We always joke.
Yeah.
We're with the older people. We're always the youngest senior one.
Yeah.
We're the youngest, but we go to eat early. We like to go, you know, because you have to let that digest. And especially when you go eat out, you usually tend to eat a little more because it's a special occasion. You indulge more. So you need more time to digest that food.
Yeah. And then I always love, I mean, I have two dogs. So, but like I time my walks a lot of times around my meals, and just going for walks after meals can make a difference as well.
Yes. Yeah, walking after meals is really good. And just walking. Walking is just the best exercise for our mind, for our body. Every time I can, every day I get a walk, at least minimum 30 minutes of a walk. And then breaks during the day. If I'm working between clients or I have 5 minutes in between, I walk around outside the pool, get some little bit of sun, come back in. You know, it's we don't spend that much time outside. That's why also all of our system are so misaligned, because we don't have any time to be on earth, to connect the energy, breathe, right? We're on the go all the time. So it's important.
Yeah. Yeah. No, grounding. I mean, you're in Florida, so it's a little bit easier, but it's getting nice here, and going outside and walking should be, I think, a priority for everybody. One thing I want to touch on, because we're changing seasons here, and I'm noticing like higher histamine levels. Is histamine something that is the forefront and something that you test for your clients?
Could you repeat that, Brian? We got disconnected.
Oh, I was just saying histamine. Histamines tend to be high here now because we're changing of seasons, you know, with allergies and things like this. Is this something that you look at as well?
I don't test for that. I don't get that many clients with allergies. And if I do, I just help them with their strengthening their gut microbiome. So when you strengthen the gut, these people have a lot of leaky gut, and that's why they have a lot of food sensitivities, allergies. So working on boosting the immune system, working on the gut microbiome, the gut lining will help them be better with their allergies. So for example, I was allergic to everything. Like I needed Claritin every day. I needed either Benadryl or some type of antihistaminic to be able to function through the day. And working on the gut and also getting rid of mold. I got a lot of mold because I am from Puerto Rico and I live in moldy environments. College was, the university was, there was a lot of mold in the schools, on my house. And that really impacted my health. Also, I took so many antibiotics when I was little that caused a lot of gut issues, pretty much wiped my flora. So I was sensitive to everything. I was sneezing all the time. I had runny nose all the time. It was very bad. So working on your gut microbiome, it's crucial to improve allergies because that will boost your immune system for sure.
And now, tell us a little bit about your online class, your online course that you have.
Oh, thank you for asking. So I created an online course to help people start. That's like the first start in your health journey, improving your gut microbiome, working on your diet, working on your circadian rhythm, eliminating toxins. And I know not everyone can afford getting tested or going to a functional medicine doctor, or they might not want to, you know, start something by themselves, but with guidance, because there's a lot of misinformation out there. So that's what I created, a course that is very affordable, that has recipes, that has different protocols, depending what is your gut condition. Do you have a lot of diarrhea? Do you have constipation? Do you have acid reflux? And then people can follow along with the nutritional support, with the protocol supplement support, and then they can get better. And it's only $97.
Yeah, I'll definitely put a link in the show notes for that class. And a couple more questions I wanted to ask you. What's one thing you've changed your mind on? Maybe that you something that you had 10 years ago or you thought of 10 years ago that you've changed since then?
Let me see. Well, 10 years ago, one of the things that I have learned, it's about food, using food as medicine. That's the big one. And that there's not one specific diet that will cure it all or one specific diet for the same people, right? Because our gut microbiome is kind of like our fingerprint. So we have to put in our body what our body likes. So maybe what I eat is not what your body likes, right? And then we have this war of people saying, oh, vegan is better, carnivore is better, keto is better, right? But what I like doing with my clients and what I did with myself, I started with the basic stuff. I took all the inflammatory foods out of my diet. I have a lot of autoimmune issues running in my family. And then it's kind of like starting with a clean slate. And that's what I do in the gut program that I'm selling. I start everybody in this program. So then you leave your body the opportunity of feeling good and regenerate for about 21 days. And then you start reintroducing what food at a time, right? One at a time. So then you don't confuse which one it is that is causing you the issues. And then you see how you feel eating different foods. Like, for example, I find that when I eat grains, my digestive system slowed down because I suffer. My flora was wiped up. I was, as a kid, taking so many antibiotics, right? So I suffered from chronic constipation. Thank God now I go to the bathroom every day, but I noticed that if I eat a lot of grains, it slows down a little. It's not that I completely eliminate it. It's kind of like a special occasion. I'm going to have a little bit of rice and beans. But listen, I'm Puerto Rican. I grew up eating rice and beans every single day. So it was hard to say, well, from eating it every day to eating it once in a while. But then I noticed how my digestive system got better, how less bloated I was. And then I eat tons of fermented foods. My body loves fermented foods. My body loves kefir, yogurt, right? All those things. My body likes it. So I tell people, like, forget about all the noise out there. And find out and personalize the diet for you, for what makes you feel good. Because I made the mistake, and I think a lot of people have done it. I went vegetarian. I lost my hair. I got very bloated. I got very unhealthy. Right? So I'm like, oh, this is not for me. I tried keto, and I'm like, no, that is not for me. I tried so many things. And then when I got into the essence of food, the more diversity you have, eating for your gut microbiome, strengthening your gut, you're going to find that you're going to be able to tolerate even more foods as time goes and as you continue strengthening your gut microbiome. Because it's not like in one day you're going to fix all your problems too. I'm sure you tell this to your clients. People sometimes have the expectation like, oh, am I going to fix this in a week? And I'm like, this might take years. Right? It takes 2 years to repopulate your flora after you take antibiotics. So that's how much damage antibiotics do to your gut microbiome. So you need a lot of time to repopulate that again. And you might not be able to get everything that you kill, right? We don't have that data, that whole data anymore, but we do know that it can take up to 2 years or even more to repopulate that flora.
Yeah. I think it takes a little bit of time, like you said, and like some type of self-experimentation, maybe a little bit of elimination diet. I think a lot of people are having maybe success with that carnivore diet because it takes a lot of the gut stressors out of play initially.
Yeah.
And then
it's a great way to start. It's a great way to start for someone that is having a lot of autoimmune issues. Sometimes I got clients, I'm like, I do almost like a carnivore fruitarian diet just to get them to a place where they're not reacting and they're feeling good. And they can heal, and then slowly we can introduce other things too.
Yeah, I agree. Because I think eventually, long term, you would love to reintroduce foods, like you said, a healthy gut. You should be able to handle
more
a lot of foods. Yeah,
yes.
More foods, right? Well, this question I ask most of my guests that come on, what one tip would you give an individual who's looking to maybe get their body or mind back to what it once was maybe 10, 15 years ago?
One tip in specific? Or it could be more,
sure.
More tips? Well, if someone wants to get their health back, work on the gut microbiome. That would be like my first one. I would say like everything that we talk about, right? That's just, if it's free advice, something that you want to start doing today that would not cost you any money, eat better, right? Stop processed foods. That would be like the first advice, because processed foods have no nutritional value. And then it's like our gut microbiome, when the function of the gut microbiome, it's take the food that you eat and digest it and absorb it and throw all those nutrients to our cells, because every cell of our body needs nutrients to function. So if we're eating food that has no nutritional value, our gut microbiome is going to digest that and it's going to be like, where's the nutrients? I am hungry, right? And then you're going to be more hungry, because the gut's going to tell the brain like, hey, tell Susie that we're hungry. Tell her to eat more, right? And then Susie's eating a lot of food. But Susie doesn't understand the communication that the gut is telling, specifically go eat more fermented foods, eat more fiber, more fruit, more vegetable. Hey, I need protein for your muscles because we're kind of like weak here and your bones and stuff like that. It's not giving you a specific signal. It's just telling you that you're hungry, right? So you're eating all this garbage and then you're thinking, why am I feeling so bad? Hello, there's no nutrition. And you're getting excess calories that usually ultra processed food has. You're dealing with a lot of oils, with a lot of sugar, with a lot of things that your body is going to take them and it's going to store them, right? So start decreasing the amount of processed food and replace them with things that will feed your gut microbiome. Lean protein, more fermented foods, fiber, fruits, and veggies. And if you want to have a cookie or something that is processed, leave that for the end, or maybe 10% of your diet. I would say even less if you can, but there's always a start. So if you have to start somewhere, decrease the ultra processed food. Start taking a walk. If you have never exercised or you haven't exercised in years, start walking. Start with 5 minutes per day, and then 5 minutes can turn into 10, 20, 30 minutes. Then you nail that. You're going to notice you're going to sleep better. Go to bed at a decent time. Right? Don't stay till 1 a.m. in social media that you have to wake up at 5 or 6. If you have children, if you got to go to work, then you're sleeping 4 hours, 5 hours. No wonder you're super tired, right? So we just have to be mindful of the behaviors and the things that we're doing daily. And those things have repercussions. So if we want to feel great, we got to make an effort, right? You buy expensive car. Are you going to put regular gas in that expensive car? No, because you know it's not going to stop working. And that car costs you a lot of money. So you're going to put premium. So you are an expensive car. You have to put premium on you if you want to run better. That would be my advice.
Well said. Well said. Yeah.
Amen.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the podcast, Dr. Ratecky. And I'll leave a link in the show notes. Where's the best place for people to find you?
They can find me on my website at drrosemaryratecky.com or in social media. I'm in LinkedIn. I'm also on Instagram at Dr. Rosemary Ratecky. They can find me there.
Great. Well, thank you so much for dropping all the knowledge on us today, and have a great rest of the day.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks for listening to the Get Lean, Eat Clean podcast. I understand there are millions of other podcasts out there and you've chosen to listen to mine, and I appreciate that. Check out the show notes at briangrin.com for everything that was mentioned in this episode. Feel free to subscribe to the podcast and share it with a friend or family member that's looking to get their body back to what it once was. Thanks again and have a great day.